Track 10. And now we come to the last of our news items. Brew and banter for Forces veterans. Forces veterans will be able to meet and chat over a cuppa thanks to a Dawlish couple, Heather and Bob Graham, who already run a successful monthly veterans breakfast club, are hoping their latest brew and banter events will catch on the same way. Held at the Strand Centre, the first event has got off to a good start. Heather explained, "It's a chance for veterans to come along and have a chat. Any veteran who wants to come along and talk with like-minded people is very welcome. This is the kind of space where people can feel comfortable to pop in, and we can signpost anyone who may need some help where to find it." The new Brew and Banter events will take place on Tuesdays between 10 a.m. and noon. The popular breakfast club, which regularly sees between 30 and 40 people attend, gives all veterans, serving and retired, a chance to get together in an informal, social way. It has been going for several years and meets on the second Saturday of every month at the Smugglers Inn in Dawlish. And this is accompanied by a photograph of some people having a cup of tea and looking quite happy.
Check for MediChopper Charity. A cheque for over £16,000 was presented to Devon Air Ambulance, DAA, by a team of its dedicated volunteers. "Thank you all so much for supporting us for another wonderful year," a spokesman for DAA said. Led by Kelly Heyman-Bruce, to date, the team have raised more than £29,000 for charity. Kelly and her team raised the money through various means, not least by bingo nights, which are hosted at High Week Primary School. Kelly and the team would like to express special thanks to the school's caretaker, Chris.
Artist Alistair helps Starcross youngsters' work come to life. Budding artists at Starcross Primary School were given a helping hand by a professional. The youngsters had the chance to take part in a workshop run by local artist Alistair Lambert. The event was made possible thanks to a subsidy from a partnership between the Helen Foundation and DAISY, the arts education charity working with schools across Devon. The Razor Bills class worked with Alistair creating work of ex-estuary birds their classes are named after. The children took their work from 2D collages and to 3D dioramas using some complex techniques and learning how to make their work stand out. Alistair took the class through each stage of the process to show them the skills they needed to be able to make their designs come to life. Card, paper, tape and glue were used to produce the designs. A school spokesman said, "Regardless of need or barrier, the children were able to produce a design that they were very proud of. This was a fantastic opportunity. The students had a fantastic day and a great time working with Alistair. We are very grateful to all the people that made it possible. Starcross will proudly display the children's work outside each classroom for the whole school to enjoy." And surrounding the article are some lovely photographs of pupils holding up their artwork of the ex-estuary birds.
Hanging on the line. I look back 10 years ago to when the power of nature devastated the main rail link at Dawlish. And these three articles that we're going to read to you are personal recollections of the night it happened. And we start with, from filming flooding to high drama on his own doorstep. Cameraman Steve Breers was travelling back from his home in Riviera Terrace when a friend who worked for Network Rail sent him a text. "Batten down the hatches," it said, as forecasted had predicted a double black storm warning. As Steve drove back from filming the then flood of Somerset levels for the BBC's Countryfile programme, little did he know what was about to unfold literally on his own doorstep. Remembering the night a decade on, Steve said it was a surreal experience. Now, he says, the intervening years have led to positive and negatives for Dawlish. He describes a new sea wall as the Berlin Wall, and that the town has lost some of the finer points of Victorian architecture, but the new wall has provided a new walkway. Of that night, there was an irony for Steve, who had spent the hours before he came back to Dawlish filming residents affected by flooding in Somerset. He recalled, As I drove back, I came across Star Cross from Powderham Church, and I thought I had forgotten where I was. The waves were coming over my windscreen, yet I was along the estuary. I got home and all hell broke loose. It was blowing a hoolie. Most people are down in town at the viaduct. I got down there to have a quick look, but when I got home between 7 and 8 p.m., neighbours started ringing each other, asking if the wall was still there. The amount of water hitting the houses was incredible. I thought it was going to take the windows out, as I didn't know how much more they could take, and they were double glazed. He and other neighbours quickly realised they needed to move their cars to the roads higher up. Steve explained, you could go about 20 metres when the car would go down on its springs as a wave hit. Then you had to wait for the wave to go back before you could move another few metres. We were driving over rubble and ballast. By the time we had done that, the wall had almost certainly gone, but the road was certainly undermined. I don't think people really appreciated how quickly it happened. Steve remembered many people had gone down to Dawlish Town to see the storm, but it was further along where the trouble was really happening. After calling 999, as the railway line was swinging in the air, Steve had a knock on his door, giving him 5 minutes to evacuate. Steve recalls, it was crazy, pitch black and completely surreal. As day broke, I went outside and saw the reality of what had happened.
Firefighter recalls immediate evacuation of Riviera Terrace. Retired firefighter Robert Porch was one of the first of the emergency services on the scene. He recalled Dawlish crews had initially been at Marine Parade near the town centre, helping out when they were diverted to an immediately life-threatening situation unfolding at Riviera Terrace. He said, we got there to find part of the roadway collapsed into the sea and the railway was swinging in the wind. It was pitch black and there was a strong smell of gas. Along with police at the scene, Robert and the Dawlish firefighters began the evacuation process. He said it was immediate, they had to be evacuated. We knew we were dealing with a major incident. There was a fear we could lose the properties completely. Looking back, he said, it's astonishing to think 10 years later, work is still going on. We were pleased no one was hurt. It was a very long night, but it was a good example of all the services working together.
Former Deputy Mayor praises the wonderful community effort. Former Dawlish Councillor Howard Armand was Deputy Mayor at the time of the storm. He recalls, the wind was howling and I thought there might be flooding in the centre of Dawlish, so thought I'd drive down to see if I could do anything to help. I was Deputy Mayor after all. I saw the fire engine stopped by the road down to Riviera Terrace and was stopped by the police. I explained who I was and they told me that there was a big gas leak and they were evacuating the houses overlooking the railway line and were planning to take people up to the leisure centre. They said the best thing I could do would be to go up there. I got there just before the manager arrived to unlock everything. I spent the night setting up makeshift beds, making teas and coffees, and generally trying to make sure that everyone was okay. I only found out the extent of the damage to the railway as the evacuees were brought up to the centre. Thanks to everyone else who helped, the leisure centre staff, police and emergency services, and Sainsbury's staff who brought equipment and food for making breakfast the next morning. It was a wonderful community effort. And these recollections are surrounded by some quite remarkable photographs of the collapse of the seawall and the swinging railway line, along with actually a photograph of the then Prime Minister David Cameron visiting the scene, and another photograph of the repair works which were happening then and, as has been described in the article, still ongoing today.